We're going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks may lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everyone. I want to talk today, if we look at this year, title of the message is God in control? Is God in control? So let's look at 2020 so far and tell me how you feel about that. Came in with wildfires from decimating parts of Australia. So then we went from there quickly within the first few days of 2020 to being at the very edge of possibly the start of World War III as tensions rose with Iran. Then the coronavirus hit and the world begins to go into quarantine. The economy crashes, people going out of business is folding. And then we're like, okay, we're getting a handle on this. And then George Floyd dies and riots start to spread throughout the country. Curfews are put into place in many cities. Horrible things begin to happen. And then somewhere in there, we had murder hornets, avalanches, earthquakes, and flooding. Sounds apocalyptic, doesn't it? It really does. There's so many memes. I thought about showing some, but I couldn't find. A lot of them are inappropriate for probably Sunday morning. But just about, this is 2020 so far. This has been an interesting year. The thing is, I think Ecclesiastes has some good answers for us. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak." My wife likes that one. No. "A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." The thing is, I believe most of us would say, yeah, we're sort of okay with that. We're sort of okay with this whole idea that there's a time and a season for everything. But this year doesn't almost seem like all that stuff happened all together. It's like if they happen one at a time, it might be sort of okay. But it seems like we've just been getting this onslaught of one after another after another. Is it a time and a season for every destruction under the sun? Is that what it says here? It doesn't quite say that. But that's, I think, what many people have felt like here so far this year. Many of us have probably asked, why would all of this happen? Why has it all happened? Is God in control? What am I supposed to do when the world seems to be in chaos? How am I supposed to respond? Ecclesiastes gives us great insight into that and how we're supposed to move forward in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, when we're not sure what to do with life, when life has its ups and downs, what are we supposed to do? So as we go through what the author would tell us, I want you to think about those things that maybe seem out of control in your life. What chaos do you have in your life? What are you uncertain about? What upsets you? What are you passionate about? Just to think about these things. And potentially, here, I'm going to ask you to maybe release some of those to God. One of those things that I had to release years ago, in a sense, I'll just call it politics. Not that I released all politics, but when my wife and I were driving truck over the road, and many of you have heard me talk about this because this is it was transformational to me. It really was. We had satellite radio. I had access to five channels on satellite radio that all they did was talk about 24/7 my political viewpoint. You know what I did? I listened to that. I'd throw in some music every once in a while. I'd listen to it all day, all night, probably 8-10 hours a day of political radio. Tell you what, anyone who's doing that, I'm just going to let you know, it's not healthy. It is not healthy. When all of a sudden I was in a restaurant and the waiter asked if I wanted a salad with that, and I started to go off about how the taxes between the United States and Mexico are wrong because on the lettuce, this and that, and I'm like, whoa, that's when all of a sudden it hit me like, whoa, something's wrong with me. He was just asking me if I wanted a salad. And I had to go off on how I thought that there was an imbalance in trade between Mexico and the U.S. and it was unfair. And he just wanted to know if I wanted a salad. I had to have a wake-up call. Is what's really important. And so it's not like, again, I didn't give up politics altogether. I still have very strong viewpoints, but I decided I'm going to limit myself to 1 half-hour program a day. And then I listen to news for a half hour. News and a half hour political radio. And I even then tried to pick someone that in my context was probably a little more moderate. And that's what I did for years. And I walked around a much happier person. I'll tell you what, I'm serious. Much happier person. So that's one way that I personally have had to just release some of that was politics. So also with that, when we decided to do this series, this is before coronavirus, before everything else, really, I think we were looking like, oh, this is going to be great. We have a presidential election coming up and people always get a little too obsessed with politics. It'll be great just to say, hey, God's in control. Just let go. Let's just move forward with life and don't get so worked up over it. Now, the presidential election that's coming up almost seems to be overshadowed by our current events. I think maybe God had a plan when we were deciding to do Ecclesiastes. Because it's even more applicable today than it was when we originally decided to do it. So let's answer the big question, one of the big questions here. Is God in control? I heard one yes. Is God in control in the midst of all of this that's going on? Yes. I would say yes. And I'm going to say also, maybe the hard word, and we are not. It's probably the harder part about that. He says, oh God, yeah, you take control of that, but, oh, I'm not. Ecclesiastes 9:1 says, this too I carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. It's a tough word there. Tough word there. And I'll just let you know, I have to say this because I'm, this Ecclesiastes is about the only way you can really preach it unless you apologize the whole time or try and do it is you create tension and then resolve it later. So if I just tried to resolve every tension as soon as it came up, this would turn into long messages. So let's let you know, we do have a resolution. But right now, I just want you to, I think it's good for us to sit on that. Just to sit on that. That no one knows whether God will show the godly favor. Just because you think God should and agree with something, does that mean that God has to bless it? Does God need to agree with your political opinion? Just because you search the scriptures and cherry pick of verses that agree with your point of view, does that mean that God is going to automatically show you favor when it comes to who you want elected and what policies you want to pass? No, it doesn't. That would mean we are God. Just because you think another country or person is bad and should be punished, does that mean that God needs to do it? No. Just because you don't see racism, does that mean it doesn't exist? Ecclesiastes is a book about looking at the reality of life. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get real. Just because you don't see racism doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Ecclesiastes keeps the main thing the main thing. Just take all the other baggage away and just look, what's the main thing here? One of the main things is that God is in control and we are not. God is in control and we are not. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. Not us. Again, before I resolve this tension, I want to bring you another point here. Things have already been decided. Ecclesiastes 6:10-11 says, everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. The more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they? I want to talk about creating some tension. I have a lot to resolve here, don't I? To make you not walk away feeling like, oh. What good are they? What does this mean? Things that are set in motion by God, there's no use arguing about them. Whether that's for your life personally, for the world, for our city, for where you work. Things that God has set in motion, there's no use arguing with them. Here, just to relieve a little bit of the tension, but often what we see as tragedy is actually God working. I would have to say that I feel I would have never come to faith in Christ unless I had tragedy happen. I lost everything. Everything. Lost my job. good job. I lost my car, a car that I had paid for. I lost it. I was homeless for weeks, eating out of trash cans. I had lost all my friends. I was utterly alone and had lost everything. And I really don't know that I would have come to faith in Christ if I hadn't lost everything. So what seems like tragedy to us, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the God, He has a bigger plan that we often don't see. We just look at one thing and go, oh, that's right or wrong. But God says, no, I have a bigger plan. I have a bigger plan. I love Him enough. I feel like God loved me enough to let me become homeless, to let me lose everything, because He loved me enough. And I was not a believer in God as that happened, but I'm sure if I even believed God existed, I would have been going, God, where are you? God has things in motion that we don't understand. And there's things that seem good to us and some that we may not like. So what are we to do? What are we to do with all this? Do we give up and not care about anything because it makes no difference? No. Do we just go through life and strive for nothing because God has already decided the outcome? No. I believe there's a powerful takeaway from chapter 6, verse 11. It says, the more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they? And I believe if we look at that in the right context, we often want to put more words. When we have something that we believe in, that we're passionate about, the more words we say, the more we maybe even try and convince ourselves, and we try and convince others around us. But the more words you speak, the less they mean. I believe we get too involved in discussions and pursuits that get nowhere. We get involved, too involved in the drama of the life and the life of others in the world and our government. Get too involved in the drama. So any of you feel like you have people around you who create drama? Come on. Oh, man, we have some. Come on, we're in church. You can't lie in church. Come on. The drama is everywhere. You turn on the TV. You listen to the news. You just talk to friends. You at work. It's everywhere. And we often get too involved in that drama. But you say, well, God wants me to care about the world and others. And doesn't He want, He wants me to be passionate about injustice and things that are going wrong and help the poor and all these things. And so what am I supposed to do? Aren't I supposed to be doing that stuff? If I see something's wrong, aren't I supposed to speak out? As Kelly pointed out, under the sun has a sense of doing things as being without God. Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time for everything under the sun. If we are doing these things in our own power and passion, it becomes pointless. Another slightly different way of looking at the term under the sun, and it really means the same thing, but it just brings a different connotation, but it's in the natural realm. So we have a spiritual realm, above the earth, and then we have a natural realm here on earth, or under the sun. But are we looking at things in the spiritual realm? Ephesians 6 tells us that we should. Tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities of this dark age, meaning spiritual forces. Not against me and a political party, but our battle is really in the spiritual realm. If we realize that we should that first we should have our passions in life and the direction be with God, then we can be confident in our life mission. If we know that it's God creating that passion. And by the way, I'll just say with politics, I think that often means we get onto issues rather than political parties. It's my own little thing. I'll just be very honest with you here. I could tell you that we could go with the progressive Democrat thing, and I say a lot of the injustice that goes on in the world, I am with them on. We could go to the Republicans and say that I agree with some of the, that we need to take personal responsibility for our actions, and people should. And they should be held accountable. They shouldn't just get free passes. I could say that I agree with some of the Green Party. I think that God has given us, we are given the charge to take care of this planet. And I could agree with the Libertarian Party because it's more, God has given us free will. He does not force us into doing things. He gives us the free choice. And the Libertarian Party would say, let's let people make their own choice to mess up. There's things with every political party out there, because of the convictions that I have through Christ, that I agree with all kinds of them. I can find almost every party, there's something I could find something I agree with. So anyway, that was not in my notes. That part was not in my notes. But our battle should be one that's birthed by the Spirit of God. Birthed by the Spirit of God. If we do that, then we can be confident in our stances. We can be confident about being passionate about things. Second, if we realize that we don't need to get into the drama of a situation because our battle is a spiritual one, it will let us go through life with the fruit of the Spirit. So much more peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. If we know that if we don't need to get involved in the drama because there's so many issues out there, if we just let the Spirit of God guide us in which ones we should go forth and which ones we should be engaged in. Not that we don't agree, but which ones do we put all of our effort and time into? Which ones do we study and research? Let the Spirit of God guide you in that. Then you can go through it with peace and power. Our battle in life is not Trump, Pelosi, Kate Brown, the police, any people group, Iran, the coronavirus, or a face mask. Of all things, it's not. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Don't get caught up in the drama. I'm going to challenge you today to give that to God. Don't get caught up in the drama. Give it to God. Give it to God. So, as we get ready for communion, I just want us all to take a moment. A moment or two. I want us to examine ourselves before taking communion. You should examine yourselves. 1 Corinthians says, "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." So as we get ready, I want you first to close your eyes. I just want you to think back. We're just going to think back through some things. So when you went to bed last night, what was on your mind? Was it the drama of life? Or was it the passion God has put on your heart? When you woke up this morning, what was on your mind? Was it the drama of life, or was it the passion that God has put on your heart? What was the first conversation of your day? Was it about the drama of life? Or was it about the passion that God has put on your heart? What was the first thing you listened to, read, looked at, or watched? Was it related to the drama of life? Or was it related to the passion that God has put on your heart? When we make the main thing, anything can happen under the sun, and it doesn't cause us to fear, panic, go into crisis mode. It leaves us where we can go and be the church to everybody, where we can be the people bringing healing and wholeness and life-transforming power, when we can be clear on what it is that God has called us to do and what passion He has given you. So as we take communion, by the way, this is some of the stuff Jesus gave His life for. Gave His body. He gave His body. That was abused and mutilated so that we could have the opportunity to walk in that type of life. So as we take the bread, let's just remember what it is that Jesus has called us to do. The juice, the lifeblood, the very life, very breath, everything Jesus gave. Again, so that you could live a whole life. So that you could live in the salvation of God. Let's take juice. This song that we're going to sing, it's very applicable for me, for my wife. And I just want to tell you, we had a time 20 some years ago, and we had a time where we could easily, we had some questions. God, what's going on? What's going on? My wife come pregnant and she had a miscarriage. And trust me, we were questioning some of these things. That was one of those things that happens under the sun. Time for life, a time for death. It was tough. And that Sunday, we came to church. And the song that we're going to sing, "Everything is in Your Hands," spoke life to us. For us to just surrender and say, God, I don't even understand it, but everything is in Your hands. I just give it to You. So I would, as we sing this song, I would ask you to do the same thing. Let's give this to God.